ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Zakir Naik to present his talk.
Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salam. Ala Rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. أوفوا بالأقود أهلت لكم بهيمة الأنام إلا ما يتلى عليكم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي Respected Mr. Rashmi Azhavedi, Mr. Trivedi, Dr. Muhammad Naik, the respected people on the dais, my respected elders and my dear brothers and sisters. I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May peace, mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, be on all of you. The topic of this morning's debate is non-vegetarian food permitted or prohibited for a human being? It is not whether vegetarian food or non-vegetarian food which is healthy. Or which is better? If I prove that an apple is better than a mango, that doesn't mean mango is prohibited. This statement is sufficient to end the dialogue for me, but I have to reply. Non-vegetarian, by definition, means a person who has food of animal origin. It does not mean a person who does not have vegetarian food. It does not mean a person who does not have vegetables and fruits. Let us be very clear to all of you. A more technical and a scientific word is an omnivore diet. A person who has many types of food, especially food of plant and animal origin. Vegetarian, as Mr. Rashmi has very rightly said, it doesn't come from the word vegetable, it comes from vegetas, which means full of breath, full of life. He didn't give a better explanation, you can talk about it. And he didn't speak, there are various types of vegetarian. They are fructarian, who only eat fruits and nuts. Then we have the vegan, who don't have any animal products. We have lacto-vegetarian, what I believe Mr. Rashmi has already is. We have milk. We have the omo-vegetarian, who have eggs. We have the lacto-omo-vegetarians who have egg and milk also. We have the pesco-vegetarian who eat fish. We have semi-vegetarians who also have chicken. This classification is done by the vegetarian society, not by me. And you can name another 20. Time doesn't permit me. I would like to state a quotation by Dr. William T. Jarvis. Dr. William T. Jarvis, he is the advisor to the American Council of Science and Health, ACSH, and is also the professor of public health and preventive medicine in the Loma Linda University, and is also the founder and the president of the National Council Against Health Fraud, and he is the co-editor of the book The Health Robbers: A Closer Look at Quackery in America. Most of the quotations are from America. And according to him, he classifies vegetarian based on the behavior standpoint into two categories: pragmatic vegetarian and ideological vegetarian. A pragmatic vegetarian chooses his diet on objective health reasons. He is more reasonable in his approach rather than emotional. The ideological vegetarian, on the other hand, he chooses his diet based on a principle, which is based on ideology. He is more emotional rather than reasonable. And Dr. William T. Jarvis says, one can spot an ideological vegetarian by his exaggeration of the benefits of vegetarianism. And you could see that in the talk which we did in my talk. Exaggeration of benefits of vegetarianism and the lack of skepticism and the overlooking of the fact that extreme vegetarianism can lead to potential health risks. he says that the ideological vegetarian, he pretends to be like a scientist, but he's more like a lawyer than like a scientist. And you could see that in the talk by the learned speaker. More like a lawyer than like a scientist. They gather data and information selectively against the information which is against the ideology. This may be good for a debate like the one we are having, but not for engendering scientific understanding. Dr. William P. Jarvis says that ideological vegetarianism is filled with hypotheses. It is filled with extremism from which even scientists and doctors are not immune. And that you can see the quotation. Mr. Rashmi Zaveri has said several diseases. And it's possible for me to refute each and every, but it's time permits. Talking about science, but the approach was not scientific. All can be prevented very well. Prevention is better than cure, is the base of the medicine. Which time will not permit me to go into health issues, etc. In the rebuttal, if time permits, I'll try and cover most of the other aspects. And health, I'll try and cover in the rebuttal. Let's analyze the various reasons why a person chooses a food habit. It can be religious, it can be geographical location, it can be personal choice, smell, taste, color, due to humane or ethical consideration, due to anatomical and physiological consideration, due to behavioral consideration. It can be due to ecological and economical consideration. It can be due to nutritional value or due to health and scientific reasons. Health and medical reasons. Let's first analyze the religious reason. Dr. Trivedi said that religion should not interfere with the human being where it's concerned what we should eat and what we should not eat. That we should leave it up to the doctor. I agree with him that most of the religions, that is the case. The religious authority, the main foundation that Almighty God, if he's not a doctor, the God that you worship is not a doctor, then you should not follow him. He says leave it to the doctor. But in Islam, we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, is our creator. And the creator of the human beings has far superior knowledge than all the doctors put together in all the years. And you can find the statement, as Mr. Ashmed already said, all from doctors. He's quoting from these books, which I think is available for sale outside, all these books. I will touch on some of these points. All, out of which, many are fictitious. Fictitious don't exist at all. Some are irrelevant. Some are untested. And some are truths, which are half-baked truths. I would like to make one point crystal here. That while I prove undoubtedly that non-veg food should be permitted for the human beings, I do not have the slightest intention to hurt the feelings of any vegetarian. And while I prove logically and scientifically that non-veg food is permitted, and if someone feels hurt, his sentiments are hurt, I apologize in advance. I sincerely apologize. My intention is not to hurt anybody's feeling, but I have to reply to the presentation of the earlier speaker. As far as Islam is concerned, it is not compulsory for a human being to have non-veg. A Muslim can be a very good Muslim even by being a pure vegetarian. But, when our Creator, Almighty God Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives us permission to have non-veg, why should we not have it? And aside my talk, by giving a quotation from the glorious Quran, from Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 1, which says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you believe, awfu bil uqood, uhillat lakum bahimatul anam, illa ma yutla alaykum. Fulfill all your obligations. And lawful for you for food are all four-footed animals with the exceptions named. Quran further says in Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 5, that cattle has been created by God for you. In it are various benefits. You derive warmth, and of the meat you can eat. The same message repeated in Surah Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 21, that you can have the meat of the cattle. Let's analyze the geographical reasons and the surrounding environment. And as you know, it influences a person's food habits. Like people living in the coastal region, the Kokanis, they have more fish. People living in South India, they have more rice. People living in the desert, where there is scarcity of vegetation, people mainly survive on the flesh of animals. The Eskimo, the Arctic region, where there is scarcity of edible vegetation, they survive more on seafood. And Mr. Lavery said that he knows that vegetable is not available in certain parts of the world, but today, due to the advancement of transportation, we can supply them with vegetables. I will request the Indian Vegetarian Congress to supply, at least give the transportation cost, that's all, to supply to the Eskimos, to supply to Saudi Arabia. To get vegetables in Saudi Arabia, it is more expensive. Why? Because the cost of transportation. That makes it more expensive. It is illogical and unscientific to spend more money to buy a food which is less nutritious. Let's analyze the humane reasons, the ethical reasons, and the proletarians. They say that all life is sacred and no living creature should be killed. They fail to realize that today is the universal fact that even plants have got life. So the main argument on killing living creature doesn't hold good today. Previously, maybe a couple of centuries ago, it may have held some weight, but today it carries no weight. Then they further argue today and they say, yes, we know that plants have got life, but they can't feel pain. Therefore, killing a plant is a lesser crime and lesser sin as compared to killing an animal. Today, science has further advanced and has come to know that even the plants can feel pain. They can even cry, but the cry of the plant cannot be heard by the human ear because the audible frequency range of the human ear is from 20 cycles per second to 20,000 cycles per second. Anything below and above this, the human ear can't hear. But the cry of the animal can be heard by the human being, but the cry of the plant cannot be heard by the human being. Just because you cannot hear the cry of the plant, that doesn't justify you to inflict pain or kill the plant. There was an ideology vegetarian who had a discussion with me and told me that with the Zakir, I know that plants have life, they feel pain, but you know, plants, they have got about 2 senses less as compared to the animals. I said, for sake of argument, I agree with you. But then I asked him a simple question. Let's suppose your brother is born deaf and dumb, cannot hear, cannot speak, 2 senses less. And when he grows up, and when someone comes and murders him, will you go and tell the judge, oh me Lord, give the murderer less punishment because my brother had 2 senses less? In fact, you will say, usne to masoom ko mara hai. He has killed an innocent person. Give him a bigger punishment. And further, if you analyze that in Islam, as far as living creatures are concerned, there are 2 types, broadly classified 2 types. Human beings who are living creatures and non-human being living creatures. As far as killing the human beings are concerned, Quran says in Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 32, that if any person, if anyone, kills any human being, unless it be for murder or for spreading mischief in the land, it is as though he has killed the whole of humanity. And if anyone saves any human being, it is as though he has saved the whole nation. If any person kills any human being, Muslim or non-Muslim, unless it be for murder or for creating mischief, Quran says he has killed the whole of humanity. If you save any human being, you have saved the whole of humanity. As far as non-human being living creatures are concerned, no human being should harm them unnecessarily, should not kill them unnecessarily, for sport or for fun or for target practice. But if it is for your security and for your safety, you can stop them, you can even kill them. Or if you want for lawful food, but not just for fun and frolic or for hunting. Even if I agree that the plants are a lesser species as compared to the human beings, if you take the life of one animal, an average animal, it can feed about 100 human beings. For the same 100 human beings, you may have to kill more than 100 plants. So is it preferable to take the life of one living animal or the life of 100 living plants? Which is a bigger sin? Is it a bigger sin to kill 100 human beings who are handicapped or kill one healthy human being? Which is a bigger sin? You decide for yourself. There is a vegetarian society by the name of World Foundation on Reverence for All Life. Most of the quotation which he gave is from here and from these three books, most of them, almost all. The name of the foundation is World Foundation on Reverence for All Life. They forgot to mention except plant life in bracket. And it says, all creation is one family. All life is sacred. What kind of an ideology is this that you permit the killing of one family member but do not permit the killing of the other family member? It's illogical and unscientific. Here in America, there are vegetarian societies who take students to slaughterhouses and they make them see the bloodshed and convert them to vegetarianism. It is like a doctor taking the young girls to observe and watch a difficult childbirth and then say, that's the reason you should not marry and should not have children. These are unethical forms of mind control. Unethical. Unethical. In fact, we should teach our children that when vegetables can be grown for food, why can't animals be raised for food? All life is sacred. I agree. Unnecessary killing them is wrong. But for a requirement, lawful food is permitted. Let's analyze the anatomical and the behavioral consideration, and there were a list of various things mentioned by Mr. Zaveri. You know, he was reading from paper at 100 miles per hour, asking to note down. How many diseases? I think a medical doctor can answer, but how much can answer? To name 10 diseases will take 2 seconds. To reply all 10 will take more than an hour. And he has listed a lot. I'll just try and tell you that if you go to authentic books, not researches made by ideological vegetarians, most of the answers are given on the medical aspect. Considering the anatomical and the physiological aspect, and like we said, that if you observe the teeth of the herbivorous animals, the cow, the goat, the sheep, they have a flat set of teeth. They only have vegetables. If you observe the teeth of the carnivorous animals, lion, tiger, leopard, they have pointed set of teeth. They only have animal flesh, not non-veg. Animal flesh. They are not called as non-veg animals. They are called as carnivorous animals. So the difference between carnivorous and non-veg. Non-veg actually is omnivorous. But if you analyze the set of teeth of the human beings, they have got flat teeth as well as pointed teeth. If Almighty God, our Creator, wanted us to have only vegetables, why did He give us these pointed teeth for us? And Mr. Zaveri said, these pointed teeth, they are not referring to the dog. They refer to the ape. He doesn't know the scientific meaning of the word canine. Comes from the root word caninus in Latin, which means of dog. And canine means pertaining to the family of Canida, like wolves, dogs, etc. Scientists have given this name. Canine, meaning pertaining to dog. And he said, it doesn't look like the teeth of dog. It refers to teeth of apes and monkeys. I believe in agreeing with the argument and proving a point, then it is proven. It's easy. Even if I agree, it is the teeth like the monkeys Do you know monkeys also have non-veg? They have the life. There are many species of apes who even have raw flesh of animals. Many species of apes who have raw flesh. The omnivorous. Who says they're carnivorous? The omnivorous. They aren't pure veg also. And many species are even called as cannibals. Some species of apes and monkeys. If you analyze the digestive system of the human being, it can digest both veg as well as non-veg. If Almighty God wanted us to have only vegetables, why did He give us a digestive system which can digest both veg as well as non-veg? And Mr. Zaveri said that we cannot have raw flesh. I agree with him, most human beings cannot have raw flesh. In the same way, most of the human beings cannot have raw vegetables, raw vegetarian diet, like raw wheat, raw rice, can you have it? Raw moong, raw drumstick. Can you have? You get indigestion. So what is the argument? No, you have to cook them. I know as a medical doctor that raw wheat, raw rice, raw drumstick if you have, you'll have problems. You can't digest them. You have to cook them. Similarly with the flesh, we non-vegetarians, we cook them for easy digestion. But yet, there are certain human beings who even have raw meat. He gave the name of Eskimos. He didn't tell the root word meaning. The root word meaning of Eskimo is literally means eaters of raw flesh. So there are human beings who even have raw meat. They are conditioned. Tomorrow if you are conditioned to eat raw wheat and raw rice, even you may be able to digest it. But most human beings cannot digest certain raw vegetables. That doesn't mean you should not have rice, you should not have wheat, that you should not have drumsticks. There are, in the herbivorous animals, an enzyme known as cellulase enzyme. And every vegetable has cellulase. And this cellulase enzyme helps in digesting the vegetables. We human beings, we don't have cellulase enzyme. Therefore, the vegetable we eat, the cellulose part, remains undigested and we call them as fibers. It's undigested. On the other hand, there are certain enzymes like lipase, trypsin, chemotrypsin, which are mainly meant for digesting non-vegetarian food. If Almighty God did not want us to have non-veg food, why did He give us these enzymes? And the primitive man, as said by the earlier speaker as well as the chief guest, archaeological evidence shows us clearly the Homo sapiens, the Eskimos, the Austin aborigines, they were non-veg. So why the change now? We have the same teeth, we have the same digestive system, and He has given a list of other comparisons which prove we can have veg. And I agree with that. Where did I ever say that you cannot have veg? A non-veg is a person who has the food of the animal products as well as vegetarian food. It's an omnivorous diet. He said that the liver and the kidney in carnivorous animal is large. In the human being, it is small like the herbivorous because the animals have raw meat. Therefore, they have to remove the toxin on a higher level. We do it by cooking the food. Therefore, God gave us a small kidney and a small liver, which is sufficient to digest both cooked non-veg and also vegetables. Similarly, with all the arguments, HCl, it's not very acidic. Why? Because we don't require it. If we don't require it, why should God unnecessarily give it to us? Same with saliva, same with the pH of the blood, same with the lipoprotein. All the arguments are that because they have raw flesh, therefore they require it. We don't require it. So why should God give us? Yes, it's required for digesting veg food and cooked non-veg food. He said, carnivorous animals, they lick. And the herbivorous animals, they sit. We human beings, we do both. We do both. When we drink, while we drink, we sip. When we have ice cream, what do? We lick. We lick also and we sip also, depending upon what is the food we are eating. Even the tea we can lick, not that we can't lick. But why do we waste time? It will take more time. similar with all the arguments he's given about the seeds being closed. Because you also have vegetables. If God would have asked us not to have vegetables, then maybe the seeds were far apart. He asked us to have both non-veg as well as veg food. And there are various verses in the Quran talking about various foods, pomegranates, talking about vegetables, talking about dates, etc. Which we should have. The plants, many vegetarians say, that they regrow. Therefore, we aren't killing the plants, and there are some plants which have that facility, not all plants. There are various. Which you cut, it regrows. So this is the only argument, that because it regrows, you can have veg food. You know, if you cut the tail of the lizard, it regrows. Do you have the tail of the lizard? It's a delicacy. There are human beings, the often aborigines, they relish the lizard. Do you have the tail of the lizard? And the answer will be no. You know what I'm doing now? I'm behaving like a lawyer. I'm feeling ashamed to answer all these things, but I have to do, because it is also a debate. I have come here so that we understand better and have a friendly understanding of each other, but I have to behave like a lawyer also, besides being logical and scientific, because the arguments put forth, anyone who has genuine knowledge can reply. But because people don't have genuine knowledge, many people aren't aware. That's why these arguments may satisfy many people. And all these arguments are given in the books, which are distributed, Meat Eating, 100 Facts by Nemichand, distributed by Jain Organization, also by the Indian Vegetarian Congress. This is a book given to me by Mr. Zaveri. 100 Facts About Eggs, Vegetarian or Non-Vegetarian. Each and every argument can be disproved. Certain things I know that non-veg causes diseases which can be prevented. Let's analyze the behavioral consideration. He gave certain arguments. The food we eat has an effect on our behavior. I agree with him to a certain level. The food we eat has an effect on our behavior. That's the reason we Muslims have the flesh of herbivorous animals like goats, sheep, who are docile and peace loving. We want to be peace loving and docile. We don't have the meat of the carnivorous animal like lion, tiger, dog, pig, etc. And the Prophet clearly says all these animals are prohibited. We are peace loving people. Therefore, we want to have animals which are peaceful. And countering argument, you all eat plants and you all behave like plants. That is suppression of the senses. A lower species. I know scientifically it is wrong. I'm only behaving like a lawyer. I feel ashamed to speak this point as a medical doctor. It's not true that you eat plants and behave like plants. But the argument he has put forth, I'm giving a counter reply. You eat plants and you behave like plants, weak and suppressed, can't move properly. I'm sorry. I really apologize. I apologize. I have to reply to the argument. I apologize if I've hurt the feeling of any vegetarian. It is not scientifically true. It's just an argument, a counter argument. Further, he gave the list of various peace loving people like Mahatma Gandhi, and I respect Mahatma Gandhi because he has done certain good things for India and humanity. But if, because Mahatma Gandhi was peaceful, indicates that if you have veg food makes you peaceful, then today if you analyze the list of the Nobel Prize winners for peace, almost all or most of them are non-vegetarian. Menachem Begin, non-veg. Yasser Arafat, non-veg. Anwar Sadat, non-veg. Mother Teresa, non-veg. Mother Teresa! I want to ask you a simple question. Which man in the history of humankind is known maximum for killing maximum human beings? Can you guess? Hitler! Adolf Hitler! He has killed 6 million Jews. Was he a non-veg or veg? Vegetarian! Anyhow, there are crusaders of vegetarians. You know, now on the internet if you go, they say, see, Adolf Hitler was a vegetarian is a myth. He sometimes had non-veg. And the other side says that, you know, when he had gastric problems, that time he had vegetable food only. to tell you frankly on a scientific viewpoint. I do not consider the diet of Hitler to be responsible for him killing 6 million Jews. Neither am I telling, irrespective whether you are a vegetarian or non-vegetarian, I'm not interested in knowing, because I, being a doctor, I know it doesn't carry any weight. There were other factors which influenced him to take this drastic step, which is totally inhumane, not the diet. There are various researches done. There have been research in America on a group of students who are pure non-veg and on a group of students who are veg, pure veg. And they analyzed that the group of students who were non-veg, they were less boiling and they were more social. But it's a research. It's not a scientific fact. I will never use this as an argument to prove that non-veg food makes you peaceful. No. I'm a doctor, more of a doctor, as well as lawyer where required, because I'm in a debate. There are researches, but these researches aren't scientific facts. Most of the statements what Mr. Rashmi Zaveri made, all were researches, not scientific facts. There is not a single authentic medical book which states that non-veg food in general should be prohibited. Not a single. All your researches, like the research done by this person in America, then they say that veg food makes the person intelligent. And he gave a list of great names. Albert Einstein and Isaac Newton, etc., etc. If you analyze the list of the Nobel Prize winners in all these years, majority were non-veg. Majority. And today, animal behavior scientists, they say that the carnivorous animal should be more intelligent than the herbivorous animal in order to catch the prey. If he's not intelligent, how will he catch the prey? But anyway, I'm not going to use this as an argument, therefore non-veg food makes you intelligent, because these things don't actually affect a human being. The diet does affect a human being, but the arguments don't affect. And all the other arguments given, they don't carry weight actually. There are people who give examples that non-veg food makes you strong is a myth. It's a scientific fact mentioned in several medical books, authentic, that non-veg food is good for health. It does have disease also, you can prevent them. There are proteins which I'll come to it later on. And to counter argue that, they give an example of Yadunath Singh Naik. Have you heard of him? Yadunath Singh Naik. In the army, it is mentioned in this book, Vegetarian or Non-Vegetarian, Choose Yourself by Gopinath Agarwal. Yadunath Naik, being a vegetarian in the army, in wrestling he defeated 2 non-vegetarians. Therefore, veg food makes you strong. I feel ashamed to reply to this argument. I feel ashamed. It's a known fact that the title holders of world wrestling, yes, there are vegetarian wrestlers also, but if you compare with the full world, almost all the title holders of world wrestling are non-veg. The person known in bodybuilding maximum, who is he? Arnold Schwarzenegger, 13 times world titles he got. 7 as Mr. Olympia, 5 as Mr. Universe, and 1 as Mr. World. What was he, veg or non-veg? Non-veg. The boxer Muhammad Ali Kashyap Clay, non-veg. Mike Tyson, non-veg. Yes, of course, non-veg food does add to the strength. That is a scientific fact. That's the reason that if you analyze, that when a person is convalescing from a disease, it's preferable non-veg food. Not that you have to have non-veg, it's preferable, egg, etc. And I'll come to it later on. And then they give an example of a wrestler, Professor Ram Murthy. Never heard his name. He says he's a world famous wrestler. Who has heard of him? Anyone has heard of him? Professor Ram Murthy? No one. World famous. Where do you get this news from? World famous. Then they give an example of Paramjit Singh in London, pure vegetarian, who skips 2,000 times a day. Therefore, vegetarian food makes you an athlete. These are the arguments supposed to be scientific. I really feel ashamed. Most of the athletic record holders, here's the Guinness book. You can go through it. I've brought it along here. all mentioned about bodybuilding, athletic, 100 meter dash, all these people. If at random also you check up their dietary history, even giving benefit of doubt, more than 80-90% will be non-veg. But I will be a fanatic if I say that all these records are only due to the diet. I will be a fanatic. A few records may be related to the diet, but not all. For the argument, because that the smell and the sight of a carnivorous animal is strong. The night vision is strong. Mr. Rashmi Ajavari said, night vision and sense of smell is strong in carnivorous. In herbivorous, it is less. In human meat, it is less. Therefore, we should be vegetarian. There are herbivorous animals, like the bee, whose sense of smell is very strong. And they even have a very good night vision. See, these arguments which are not scientific may be useful in the debate to convince the people illogically. Therefore, I am here. Then give the example. You know, animals have coarse voice. You know, coarse voice. The carnivorous animals. Herbivorous animals don't have coarse voice. And you ask a simple question. Which animal is maximum known for a hoarse voice? Donkey. Veg or non-veg? Veg or non-veg? Veg. Anyway, by no means am I trying to prove that vegetarian food creates hoarse voice or non-vegetarian food creates melodious voice. If you see the list of singers, many are non-veg, many are veg also. So just by quoting singers who are veg saying, oh, that's why vegetarian diet makes you melodious, is all illogical argument. Really, I feel ashamed to answer all these things. And he just thought an economic point. That economic reason why we should have vegetarian food is more economical, according to Mr. Zaveri. And he gave several statistics, so many calories, so many this, so many tons of protein, which is mentioned here. From where they get the statistics, God alone knows. And he mentioned some protein, it's also mentioned in his book, that 1 kg of animal protein that we get, you have to feed so many plants, etc. Therefore, it is equivalent to 7 kgs of veg protein. So if you are having meat for 1 kg protein, you are taking 7 kg vegetables. Therefore, vegetable is cheaper. How they get this kg of protein, I being a medical doctor, don't realize. Is it kg of food or kg of protein? And if I agree with them, I agree with them. Okay. You say, for sake of argument, 2 plus 2 is 5. I agree, and then ask you that you take 2 rupees, take 2 rupees, give me 5 rupees. Take 2,000, take 2,000, give me 5,000. Similarly, if I agree it is right, all the statistics, then I tell that the vegetarians, they should thank the non-vegetarians. You know why? Because if you would not have slaughtered the animal for food, it would have lived for another 5 to 10 years. And in that time, you would have had the vegetables of 7 to 8 people for a few years. So you should thank us from preventing the animal from eating your vegetable food. Furthermore, here the calculation from some record, from where, I don't know. 1:14. The land that you graze required for animal is 14 times more than the land required for food, etc. Same example is given here that the land required to produce 1 ton of beef, the same land you can feed 5 average families. 1 ton of beef is equivalent to 10 or 20 tons of veg food. And the land required to graze an animal can raise 5 average families. My earlier argument also holds good here, but besides that, these ideological vegetarians, they fail to realize that the animals graze on land which is unsuitable for growing crops. They eat the plant which is inedible for the human beings, like husk and stalks, corn stalks. They don't eat plants which are edible for the human beings. Yes, they can eat. But when they enter the field, the farmer, Bud Natchez, takes them out of the field. Why to cause loss? Yes, if you have excess of crop, etc., there are certain governments who even feed them. And there are nomadic populations who make their living by grazing animals on land which is unsuitable for crop growing. But they eat the vegetation which is inedible to the human being and they make their living. Even the animal lives, even the human being lives. And today, according to UN report, about 23% approximately of the land in the world is used for pastures, 23% for forest, less than 10% for cultivation. The remaining 45% majority can yet be used for growing crops. Why don't you use that? Why are you running after the food of the animals, poor living creatures? Let them live, let them eat. Why are you stopping them from eating? If the non-vegetarian stops slaughtering the cattle, do you know that there will be overpopulation of cattle? Overpopulation. I am aware that human beings, they raise animals for food. That means, by methods, they increase the multiplication of animals. But if suppose they agree that from today, all non-vegetarians stop raising animals for food and stop killing them for food, yet they will grow in population. You know why? Human beings. In all these years, our population is increasing. Even with all the family planning method, with all the birth control, hamdo hamare do, yet we are increasing. There is no birth control method among the cattle, and the gestation is less than the human being. 5 months to 6 months to 8 months. Less than the human being. And they multiply faster. So if we stop killing and stop raising, yet, within a few decades, you'll have problems not of overpopulation of human beings, of overpopulation of cattle. How are we going to solve it? There are various nutrition. We talked about protein, etc. If time permits, I will speak in the rebuttal. I would like to make a statement of Dr. George R. Kerr, which is sufficient to counter all his arguments on health. Dr. George R. Kerr, he is the professor of nutrition in the University of Texas. Why I'm giving a designation, you can come to know that these people actually specialize in catching health fraud. People who deal in fraud in health. He says that virtually all authors of the diet and disease books, they propose hypotheses which are untested, ill-tested, unfound, unlikely, or disproved. I'd like to repeat. Dr. George R. Kerr says, virtually all authors of books on diet and disease, they propose hypotheses which is ill-tested, unfound, non-tested, unlikely, or disproved. Time is running short. I would like to make the statement that's given by the American Council on Science and Health. Just a statement. See, they are experts. These quotations of research and scientific facts, all these quotations that this causes this disease, that some are scientific facts, but they can be prevented. But the other thing was mentioning about this land and that land, these are only statistics done by individual researchers. Even when you do PhD, you can do a research and that will come into account, but won't carry weight. American Council on Science and Health says that a person need not abstain from meat and be a vegetarian to have a healthy diet. And the topic is not veg or non-veg, which is healthier. It is non-veg food permitted or prohibited for the human being? And I will list out the points in summary to make it easier for Mr. Zaveri to answer in the rebuttal. Point number one. There is not a single major religion which bans or prohibits all non-veg food in general. Point number two. Geographical places like Arctic, Eskimos live. How could you have provided food all these years back? And today also if you provide, it's going to be more expensive. Point number three. If all life is sacred, why do you kill the plants? Even they have life. Point number four. Even plants feel pain. Point number five. Even if I agree they have two senses less, killing a creature of two senses less is a lesser crime, is illogical. Point number six. It's preferable to kill one animal and take one animal life than to take 100 lives of plants for feeding 100 people. Point number seven. Each and every argument can be disproved. The liver, and the kidney. HCl. Same with saliva. Same with the pH of the blood. Same with the lipoprotein. Point number 8. Human beings have an omnivore set of teeth for eating veg as well as non-veg. Point number 9. They have a digestive system which can digest both veg and non-veg, and scientifically approved by the enzymes. Point number 10. Primitive man was non-veg. You can't say it's for human beings. Human beings is for that person. Point number 11. The food you eat has an effect on the behavior, but saying that non-veg food makes you violent has got no scientific base at all. Point number 12. Giving argument that veg food makes you strong, makes you peaceful, makes you intelligent, makes you athlete are all myths. Point number 13. Night vision and sense of smell is strong in carnivores. In herbivores, it is less. The carnivorous animals have coarse voice, coarse voice. Herbivorous animals don't have coarse voice. Are all illogical arguments. Point number 14. That veg food is cheaper, I've disproved it. It's not economical. In certain countries, yes. Like India, it can be. But if you go abroad, in the Western countries, veg food is more expensive. And fresh veg food is phenomenal. Fresh vegetables. Furthermore, point number 15, that the land required to graze the animals will cause scarcity of the land for growing crops is also wrong. Point number 16, if the non-vegetarian stops slaughtering the cattle, do you know that there will be overpopulation of cattle? Point number 17, according to Dr. Kerr, these books written by dietitians, they can't be relied upon. All the statistics given are mainly from there. There is not a single statement, point number 18, in any authentic medical book which says non-veg food in general should be banned. Point number 19, there is not a single government on the face of the earth which has banned all non-veg food as a general rule. And point number 20, that even the American Council on Science and Health has said that for a healthy diet, being a pure vegetarian is not required. These are sufficient proof, logical and scientific, that non-veg food has to be permitted. If Mr. Zaveri doesn't agree, I request him to answer scientifically, not by comparison on just researches. But yet if Mr. Rashmita Zaveri doesn't reply to more than 20 points which I put forth, yet I will not ask him to become a non-veg. Because I am not a fanatic non-vegetarian. I am not. Yet if he wants to continue eating vegetarian food, I have got no objection. It's a personal choice. It's a personal choice. Some people like, due to certain taste, etc. It's a personal choice. And only thing I like to tell the people, that the vegetarians, the ideological vegetarians who do so much propaganda that this has got no value, etc., they should stop such things and stop distributing these type of books which mislead the people. I would like to end my talk by giving the quotation of Doris Quran from Surah Nahl, chapter 16, verse 125. It says, "Udu ila sabili rabbika bi hikmah, wal ma'azat al hasna, wajad al billati ahsan." That is, invite all to the way of thy Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching and argue with them and reason with them in the ways that are best and most gracious. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.